This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Now, we've got Roland Thompson, who is here to talk books.
Now, for those that don't know, Hares and Hyenas are actually here in the Pride Centre. They're doing a Harry Potter. They're under the stairs. And so you walk around the back of that spectacular staircase, and there's this wonderful bookshop, Hares and Hyenas, and that's where you'll find him.
That's most of the time.
So, Roland, now you're here to talk books, basically.
Books are in, yeah. I could talk about anything you like.
I think we'd like to start with books, then we'll see where we go from there afterwards, okay? But yes. I thought maybe we'll start off with maybe either some new releases or some of your recommendations.
Okie dokie.
Well, it's I suppose the first time being here, it's a bit like when someone comes into the shop and says, oh, I haven't read a gay book before or a queer book before. What do you recommend? And it's like this responsibility of setting someone on the path.
But the other side of it is, let's just describe what Hares and Hyenas is.
Yes.
It is a bookshop, but a very specialist bookshop, and it's wonderful to have it here at the Pride Centre. But, what do you specialise in?
Well, the umbrella term for us is a queer bookshop. We've never just focused on gay, lesbian, right from the beginning in 91, Crusader and I, when we set the place up, we wanted it to be an expansive term that we used because we knew that as time went by that the various other subjects would come in. And so it's not just gay, lesbian, it's gay, lesbian. All the letters of the alphabet and inquiring straights or kinky straights.
The wonderful history of Hares and Hyenas, you started off in Paran.
That's right, in good old Commercial Road. Yeah. Those were the days.
And then you went over to Johnson Street over in
Fitzroy.
Yeah.
Yep. We had two shops for a while there. We, as well as Commercial Road, for a little while we were in Brunswick Street, and then we moved to Smith Street, right near the corner. Of whatever that street is, the Phil Street. At the corner there. But then when the GST came in, just thought this is too much. We'll just go to the one shop.
Right. Yeah.
And so yes. Yeah. After 15 years in South Yarra, then we're 15 years in Johnson Street in Fitzroy, and then the business split and I moved the bookshop over to here.
Right,
brilliant. At the end of 2021.
Yeah, and it's a lovely bookshop, and the wonderful thing about it is that where you are, it's very quiet. You know, there's a lot of activity going on out in the main area. But the minute you walk around the back there, it's actually quite – it's a lovely spot for a bookshop, isn't it?
It is. It's a really nice spot. There is a never-ending debate of, you should be up the front of this Pride Centre or it should be there. I'm quite happy where we are. I mean, people find us when they're ready. Even when you're in the middle of a street, people don't notice you until they're ready to notice you.
Yeah.
And there's always that.
And the lovely thing is that you actually do a few book launches and book readings at times as well.
Yeah, I'm slowly getting back into that. Johnson Street, we had the performance venue, so we were doing a lot of launches and readings and stuff. But it's taken a little while to get the logistics sorted over here.
Yeah.
But the second half of last year, we were starting to do them, and so we'll get it back into them as the year goes by.
Brilliant. Now, what do you want to talk about today? You know, like, do you want to do a broad sweep, or have you picked a couple of books?
I've picked a couple of books. I've been tossing and turning for the last few days of what approach to have, but I thought I'd start with the big title at the moment, which is Armistead Maupin's Mona of the Manor, his 10th in the Tales of the City series.
Uh-huh.
So for people who don't know, Mr. Maupin started writing for the San Francisco Chronicles, a serial set in a apartment building in San Francisco.
Yep.
And that was, can't remember now, mid-70s it was set in, somewhere around there. Yeah. Excuse me a moment for the dates. The first six, well, the first three were in the structure of a serial, and so each chapter was very short and ended in a cliffhanger. The next three, they were much more of novel form, with each chapter being like a chapter, with a large set of characters. Since those initial six, he took a break, and then he started writing around a specific character from the earlier book. So we've had Michael Tolliver, who was Mouse, who was the gay boy, everything came together for him, sort of thing, in sort of way. And the second was Marianne in Autumn. Marianne left San Francisco to marry a conservative in Midwest America, and then she came back in Marianne in Autumn, and then Anna Madrigal, Last Days of Anna Madrigal. Anna Madrigal was the owner of the apartment block, and so that she was the matriarch of the place. So this one is Mona of the Manor. Mona is Anna Madrigal's daughter, and in the first set of books, she goes off to England to marry a baron, and so this starts in the 90s, and it's interesting. This is the first of the new set of books of his that has really captured people's attention, I think.
How old is he now, do you know?
In his 70s,
okay,
something.
I thought he might have been 80s. Even older. Yeah.
I don't know. Right. But as I said, the first one was written way back in the 70s. So and each one is a real capsule of the time, time. So, I mean, this one, which he has set in the 90s in Thatcher, England. I think Thatcher was still there. It's a couple of years after Clause 28, which was the English version of don't promote homosexuality in schools and all that crap. So there's an air of conservatism around the place. Right.
It actually set on an apartment block? Was there a real apartment block, or did he make it up?
Oh, now you're asking. I don't think it's based on a particular...
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
I don't think so. I mean, because of the TV series, you have this image of a real apartment block, but I don't think so. Right.
And therefore, they've become popular the last couple, have they?
Well, as I was saying, people were a little bit scared. You know, when you've got that really favourite book and then someone writes, or film or anything, and someone writes a sequel, well, that's really what happened with after the first six. Everyone was really happy with them, and Abramson Maupin said he wasn't going to write any more, and he wrote a couple of other standalone novels that just didn't take off in the same way. I think the structure being focused on one person instead of the various threads from the apartment building, also sort of people had to get used to that. And I also have a feeling that since the pandemic, people are a little bit more wanting something familiar and something that they know. You know, they want to go back to cocooning, as used to be.
Nostalgia seems to be
nostalgia and all that. Yeah. But this is a fantastic. I mean, it just, when you start, you can't start with this book. You've really got to start with the number one, Tales of the City. But it's like going back to an old friend. It's, you know, after three or four pages, you're right back into
fantastic.
It.
Fantastic.
Those feelings and the way he's able to bring in little snippets of the times that they were in and stuff. One of the characters is the secretary for Jesse Helms, and it's like, oh, my God, whatever happened to Jesse Helms? He's dead, but at the time in the 90s, he was huge. He blocked the Mapplethorpe exhibitions. He was a crusade against. He was really started the cultural wars, I suppose, in many ways. So,
fantastic.
So just those sort of things, he's able to bring into the conversation, and you just it's just fantastic. So that's where I started. Now, Then a couple of weeks ago, someone came in and asked about this book called The Pit that I hadn't heard of, knew nothing about. And he said, oh, it's about being gay in the, you know, Pilbara and on the in the mines and stuff. And so I got one in, and it's part of a crime series. And I read it in a couple of days, and then I had to go back and read the one before. Let me take a breath. the main police officer in this is Sparrow, who's First Nations gay policeman, and he gets a call from a 60-year-old man saying that he committed murder 30 years ago. And so it's setting up as a road trip from Perth through into the Pilbara.
Yeah.
Because Bobby, who's wants to make the confession, says he wants to take him back to where the murder happened, and explain it there. So, as the third person that's in this road trip is Luke, who's also in the same aged care home as Bobby, but he's 30-year-old. So he's a wheelchair user. He's became a paraplegic through a motorcycle accident, and so they head off to these great adventures. It's a bit like Mad Max. With a gay character and stuff. It's a wild trip through Western Australia. There's two stories. There's the present day story, and then the story of what happened originally,
yeah,
with the murder, yeah, which is set in the 60s.
Right.
And Bobby, it's sort of the description of, you know, the closeted gay sex at this mining camp is just so full on. It's like they express their sexuality through violence. So when at the end of the week, when they finish the mines, they, you know, half a dozen men jump into the ute and head off to this little water thingy bob, and on the way they just start fighting each other. So, and then when they get there, they sort of pair off. They're just violent to each other. So
Whoa.
It's like a bit of Fight Club there,
yeah,
and
yeah,
that's how they start the sexual conquest.
Right. Foreplay.
And it gives an excuse, you know, we're not really gay, we're just
playing.
We're just playing around, yep, that ends, yep, up.
Well, who's the writer?
The writer is Peter Papathanasiou.
All right. did you know of
No, him, look, or? It's interesting. He deals with, well, as I said, he's got an Indigenous character, he's got a wheelchair user, and Bobby, who's gay. All I know is that he's a Greek Australian. His first book was a memoir about finding out that his parents weren't his mother and father, that his aunt and uncle had conceived him because his parents couldn't conceive and given him to,
right,
to his parents. So all I know is that he's Greek. I don't know if he's gay. I don't know what connection he has with the,
right, okay,
Indigenous,
oh,
world.
We should look
so
into
it. Yeah. I find it fascinating because he just grabs so many topics. It looks at that mysterious town in the middle of the,
yeah,
Western Australian,
yeah,
desert they had to fence off because of the asbestos that was used in everything.
Oh,
there,
right.
And,
yep, yep,
and it's been written off the map. It talks about that.
Yep.
It goes into land rights, into disability rights. It's just amazing.
Right.
I just
loved it.
So yeah, as I said, after that,
what's it called, that
it's
one?
It's called The Pit, and I'll try to say his name. Peter Papathanasiou.
Okay.
Excuse any Greek people listening. I really hate
and,
it.
And
when
the first one was called?
It. Well, the second one, the first one, the main character, the books, the main detective in the books is a Greek detective, but he goes off to Greece. And so the third one has Sparrow, who
right,
is his offsider. But
right,
the Stoning, which is the second one,
yep,
which introduces Sparrow, the gay detective, is around refugees in a refugee centre in outback Western Australia, and the discrimination between and the friction between the people at the detention centre and the townspeople, as well as between the white townspeople and the Aboriginal townspeople. He just brings in so many topics. Wow. I'm just amazed by them.
Sorry, Roland, just to clarify. So this book that you're just talking about now is a third now.
Well, I'm going back.
Okay, that's all right.
Sorry, I'm confusing everyone.
That's all right.
Look, this has been fascinating already, first time round, and we didn't get as much about the books because we wanted to talk about what Hares and Hyenas is all about. Mm-hmm. But these sound like fantastic books.
As I said, I was just overwhelmed by the pitch. I have to thank Graham Willett from the archives, who came in and said, "Oh, do you know about this book?"
Fantastic!
I'd really recommend it. And I'm just, you know, that we live in an age of, you know, you can't write about, you know, subjects that you're not part of the community of.
Yep.
Whereas this author has just gone for it in so many ways. Yep. And I just think it's wonderful.
Brilliant. And the wonderful thing is you're open 7 days a week.
That's right.
Right.
Yep.
And yeah, like Sunday afternoon, if you're not doing anything, it's a good time to wander down to the Prize Centre and check out the bookshop.
Yeah, exactly, especially in this weather. We're in the Arctic here at the Prize Centre, so come on down. Yeah,
great.
All right, thank you so much, and we're looking forward to you. We'll see you in a month's time.
Okay.
Great. We've been talking to Roland Thompson here about books this month. We're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.